"By golly," he said suddenly, "you think I let her scare me about that ocean? You think that?"
"Oh, I guess not, George. I was thinking, though, that if you don't come along with us, and if there is some awful stormy calamity, we're every last one of us liable to be lost at sea, you know that." "I said I didn't know nothing about boating, and I'll tell you something else. These two women coming to get us. I told the doctor was my two aunts, two widows of fishermen. Well, the only cruise neither one of them ever did was on solid cement. They won't be no more helping to fixing me. We need you, George." He took a pull on his cigarette and asked, "You got $10, by the way?"
George shook his head.
"No, I wouldn't suppose so. Well, what the devil, I gave up the idea coming out ahead days ago. Here." He took a pencil out of the pocket of his green jacket and wiped it clean on his shirt tail, held it out to George. "You captain us and we'll let you come along for $5. George looked around at us again, working his big brow over the predicament. Finally, his gums showed in a bleached smile, and he reached for the pencil.
"By golly,"
he said, and headed off with the pencil to sign the last place on the list. After breakfast, walking down the hall, McMurphy stopped and printed CAPT behind George's name. The whores were late. Everybody was beginning to think they weren't coming at all when McMurphy gave a yell from the window and we all went running to look. He said that was them, but we didn't see but one car, instead of the two we were counting on, and just one woman. McMurphy called to her through the screen when she stopped on the parking lot, and she came cutting straight across the grass toward our ward. She was younger and prettier than any of us had figured on. Everybody had found out that the girls were whores instead of aunts and were expecting all sorts of things. Some of the religious guys weren't any too happy about it. But seeing her coming light-footed across the grass with her eyes green all the way up to the ward, and her hair roped in a long twist at the back of her head, jouncing up and down with every step like copper springs in the sun, all any of us could think of was that she was a girl, a female who wasn't dressed white from head to foot like she'd been dipped in frost, and how she made her money didn't make any difference. She ran right up against the screen where McMurphy was and hooked her fingers through the mesh and pulled herself against it. She was panting from the run, and every breath looked like she might swell right through the mesh. She was crying a little.
"McMurphy. Oh, you damned McMurphy."
"Never mind that. Where's Sandra?"
"She got tied up, man. Can't make it. But you, damn it, are you okay?"
"She got tied up?"
"To tell the truth."
The girl wiped her nose and giggled.
"Old Sandy got married. You remember Artie Gilfillian from Beaverton? Always used to show up at the parties with some gassy thing, a gopher snake or a white mouse or some gassy thing like that in his pocket. A real maniac."
"Oh, sweet Jesus," McMurphy groaned.
"How am I supposed to get 10 guys in one stinking Ford, Candy, sweetheart? How'd Sandra and her gopher snake from Beaverton figure on me swinging that?"